Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the once a month Tuesday night calls. And obviously, this is the Tuesday night call for the month of August. So here we are. And to to answer what I was just telling Jesse before things got started here, I had a little over 3 days in the hospital back in May, and they have tried to bill my insurance $47,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dave.
And I was not in ICU or anything.
No. That's just normal. Our whole healthcare system's a joke.
It really is. It's the insurance company has paid out $6,000 and something and told them to go pound sand on the rest, and I got to pay a little over $1,100. But, man, I'll tell you, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well,
but it is what it is. So, anyway.
Exactly. It is what it is. You can't worry about it.
Right. We're going to see what's going on with everybody and talk about our stuff. But, of course, I'll let Jesse go ahead and do the disclaimer here before we get started. You know, he's got the patent on it, so I'm not allowed to do it except under...
There you go. Well, good evening, everybody. Yep. David, again, thanks for always hosting the call. I'm glad you're feeling better. And anyway, welcome to our monthly call. Guys, I got a feeling that this is going to turn into a weekly call here real soon. This economy is going sideways pretty damn fast. So anyway, during this call, we're going to discuss a lot of legal issues, but none of it should be taken as legal advice. We're not attorneys. We don't purport to be attorneys, and none of this should be taken as legal advice. If you want an attorney, you should go hire one. If you're looking for legal advice, hire one. Don't come looking for us for legal advice. But we can have a lot of fun discussing the probabilities of things. And, again, guys, we're not attorneys. We don't want to be attorneys. And you guys should seek legal counsel if that's what you think you need. So, anyway, Mr. David, I'm glad. I really am glad for you, man. You're feeling better, and that's good stuff.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I've gained good weight. I got down to 208 in the hospital, and I'm hanging right about 224. So
nice.
I've gained about 16 pounds, roughly. Since I got out of the hospital, but you know, this afternoon I just had hunger going strong. You know, before I had trouble, I had to teach myself. I really had to make myself learn how to eat again after the debacle with being sick and being in the hospital, because it's completely screwed up everything. Food tasted like crap. I didn't feel like eating, and I had to force myself to eat. And it took a while to get all that stuff done, but And anyway, this afternoon I didn't have any trouble eating. This afternoon was like, oh well, okay. When are you going to quit eating? Oh, I'm hungry. I was eating about everything in sight here this afternoon for some reason, but you know, I've been spending the time inside here. Like I was saying earlier, it's been so hot out, and I'm hibernating inside, which is a smart thing to do in my book, and watching the market stuff. And I saw something extremely interesting yesterday that I was going to mention to you. You know, I had every indication with my tools and stuff that the NASDAQ was going to take a dive yesterday. And I shorted the market, actually Sunday night when it opened, the futures market. And it did, in fact, take a dive, a little bigger one than I thought it was going to take. But the market went down, hit a bottom, and it turned around and went straight up for the rest of the day. And it made its high exactly at 3 o'clock when the cash market closed. And I looked at it and I thought, this doesn't make any sense. It went up and made a new high. It didn't just recover part of what it dropped. It dropped over 200 points. And the market just turned and ran up and up and up and up and up. And I came to a very interesting conclusion after studying that later yesterday and last night. The Fed came in and saved the market from crashing.
Really?
Yeah, because I looked at the pattern of the buying, the way it was going, the volume that was in there, the move and everything. The Fed came in and bought it all the way to the closing bell to support the markets. They did it in the S&Ps. They did it in the Dow futures. They did it in the NASDAQ. All three of them did precisely exactly the same thing. And I tried to short it a couple times looking, you know, for it to have a bounce in the typical resistance points and looking to take another short position again. It just kept going. I ended up getting stopped out of a couple of trades. And then last night, I looked at it and figured it's going to go back down. And I put another position on last night, and I put a stop loss in very close to my entry point, and they bounced it up to one half of a point above my stop loss, so it stopped me out last night. And the market dropped over 200 points today. And it ended the day down about 165 points. This is on the NASDAQ futures. So what they did yesterday, the Fed came in, because everybody's waiting for things to happen with what's going on in Afghanistan, the absolute total failure really in everybody's face, you know, Saigon all over again. They were protecting against a market crash yesterday. The Fed came in and pulled the market back up. The Bitcoin and Ethereum and the
everything's gone down today.
Cryptos. Well, yeah, but see, they didn't go down yesterday.
No. They were setting new highs. New highs for lows, obviously.
Yeah, but see, the equity markets were going down yesterday, but the cryptos held up. Today, the equity markets went back down again and stayed down, and the cryptos are rolling over.
Interesting.
So they're manipulating the markets. Anybody out there that does anything with investing or trading, do not even begin to think that these markets are not controlled and manipulated. They absolutely, without question, are. I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And I watched that happen yesterday, and I couldn't believe what they did taking that up. The only way it could have gone up the way it did was for the Fed to be buying. Because they bought for after the morning low, you had the first washout, and then normally what you get is a bounce, and then you get further selling. And everything was all set up for it. And instead of bouncing and then selling off again, the market went up, and it just kept going straight up. And it did it on lighter volume than the size of the move. So be very careful with things. If you got money in the markets and stuff, be real careful.
I don't.
We're on the verge of some bad things happening. And the NASDAQ futures are down about 40 points right now. So anyway, that was a very interesting thing that I observed yesterday. And there's going to be a lot more of this kind of stuff. You know, what happened in Afghanistan, anybody with half a brain could see that coming before it happened. But there's a lot of people that aren't dealing with too many brains these days, especially in Washington, D.C. So anyway, I have nothing to talk about litigation-wise because all my litigation is settled. I got my settlement with Midland a couple months ago, and that's all done. And I'm litigation-free at this point in time, and I don't anticipate being involved in any litigation going forward. I'm not getting debt collector calls by anybody with an auto dialer, but on top of that, the TCPA basically went pretty much down the drain with the advent of the Supreme Court decision. So things, you know, it's like
Did
anything
really
else.
Leave? I haven't checked.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, your chances of prevailing in a TCPA suit that, like we've done for years, very slim, very, very slim to none. Basically, they killed the ATDS issue. So that's pretty much done.
I don't even know about that. Honestly, that's truth. I've been out of it that long that I just haven't kept up.
I wouldn't spend $10 for a filing fee in a TCPA suit now, much less $400.
Wow.
That's the situation we're in. Now, Florida just passed a new mini TCPA, but there's a lot of noise about how that's going to work, whether that's going to be able to hold up. They just recently passed that, and I just got notification today that there's another class action lawsuit that's been filed under the Florida mini TCPA, as they call it. But there's been nothing going on where there's been any decisions. There's no case law or anything else. But as far as on a national level, and the federal statute is basically down the drain.
Wow.
So,
well, I had no idea. Shows you how much I've been able to keep up. Really?
Yep.
Hey, so is Terry or John or anybody on their call with us? I haven't heard
Terry
your wonderful
is with
voices
us.
In a long time.
Yeah, I Terry is with us.
I'm
Terry,
here.
How are you tonight?
What are you doing, Miss Terry? How the hell are you?
Right now I'm really glad I don't live in the river house.
Why is that? Are you flooding or something? What's going on over there?
Oh,
a lot of
flooding
over
telling
in the river,
you,
huh?
I had to go earlier to pick up Haley and the baby, and they live out about 12 miles from here, excuse me, and they're not on the river, but along the road go where you go to their road, there's a little creek, and I mean little. It's maybe normally 3 feet wide and 6 inches deep, you know.
Well, right.
I drove out there, and that was this afternoon. I drove out there to get the kids, and there's where that creek crosses the road, there's a one-car bridge. And I went to go over the bridge, and I'm like, holy cow. And I looked to my right. It wasn't a creek anymore. It was a river, and it was raging like the Ocoee. And if you've never been on that, that's where they have the Olympic kayaking. That's a major river, whitewater event river going on there. Well, that's what that creek looked like, and it was just coming up over the bridge. And I'm like, okay, we're out of here. So I got the kids, and I got home. And then Kate sent me an email. She said, and then she called me. She said, did you get the pictures I sent you of Helen, Georgia, you know, the Chattahoochee runs through there. And that's where we always go tubing, and that's minor kayaking. That river, that part of that river is always so low. And I said, no, I didn't get the pictures. They didn't come through on the email. So when she got here about half an hour ago to pick up the kids, she showed me the pictures. Oh, my Lord. Helen, the whole town is underwater.
Really?
Oh, boy.
So she was laughing, and she said, well, I guess they can't tell you where you can and can't tube and kayak now, right?
Down Main Street.
I don't even want to hear it. I am not doing that.
Yeah, geez.
That is funny.
So I'm not going
anywhere.
Yeah,
but not so funny for the people living there, I'm, you know, to be sure.
No, exactly.
No. And, you know, that would be, this is going to be like that last flood that we had at the river house. And, you know, that got one of our cars and my freezer and my hot tub. And, you know, then we moved. And it's going to be like that this time again. So I'm glad I'm far away from the, you know, not mileage-wise. As far as driving to river, it's like 5 minutes drive from here. But we're nowhere near the flood area, you know.
Yeah, you're not on the river bank.
Oh, nowhere near it. No, no, no. Now, now, this was the other thing. My son and Cindy, they took off earlier, went to Gatlinburg to have a night to themselves away from the kids, a little break for mom and dad, you know. Well, they went to Gatlinburg before all this started. Well, now they closed the Nantahala Gorge, and they can't come back.
Oh, geez.
So, the boys are on their own tonight, right?
Oh, geez.
And probably tomorrow.
It's all right.
Yeah. Well, I know Terry doesn't have any litigation going on, so she hasn't got any kind of news for us.
No,
but I don't know. I think John and Larry got lost in the shuffle here, maybe.
They're
I
not
don't
there.
See him on the board. Nope. We got Jesse and Terry and myself. That's it. And you know, we have to expect things are going to be still kind of quiet because it is summertime and we're starting to get into late summer where, you know, if people are going to take a vacation and they're running late, well, this is going to be the time they're going to be gone. But, you know, this is why we're right now with the not as many people participating. We're not having the calls every week. But like Jesse said earlier, there's a lot of things changing in this country. Right now, they're playing games with the rental evictions and the mortgage stuff, the abatements on collecting mortgages. That's all going to come unraveled in a not too distant future, where there's going to be it is going to be a disaster. It's going to be Afghanistan and the financial market is what it's going to turn into. And I think everybody's pretty much aware of what's happened in Afghanistan. If you aren't, you need to be aware. You need to understand how dire the circumstances are over there and what's happening.
Oh, there's all kinds of crazy stuff everywhere, man.
Well, they had a C-17.
John Pinson says he is on the call, by the way, just so you know.
Oh, good.
He's on the call.
Yeah.
Well, he's not calling from his regular number, that's for sure.
Ask him
raise your hand, sir.
Well, I got one person with a hand up. Ask him if it's 412.
Why don't you just unmute him and ask him?
Well,
yeah.
Easier. Yeah, he said no, it's not him. He heard
okay.
you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it is. It is. It is. It is.
It is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm going back there. Yeah. Well, what are you doing on a 412?
Yeah. I have no idea. I was calling with Skype, and it usually shows my cell phone number. But I don't know. I haven't used it in a while. But anyways, here I am.
Oh, well, okay.
My sister had her hip replaced up at the Mayo Clinic on
Did she?
June. Yeah, she finally had it done at June 28th at the Mayo, and I had to stay there, went up early and stay there a few days. And then she had to have a blood transfusion before she transferred over to the rehab facility. And they had her 2 weeks. And then, you know, just because she was unsteady, I wanted her to stay some longer. But they were, like, you know, trying to shift her out like every place does. And they put her in a different section, and someone barged in the room when she was going to the bathroom, and she stepped down on the leg that she had the hip replaced, and it cracked the acetabulum, which is the socket where the hip bone goes, had been replaced.
Oh, no.
It was all cemented in. So it's really the iliac, that whole bone, but it didn't break it, you know, where it separated. So she had to go back and do x-rays, and they said, no, we'll keep an eye on it. But she's just having to stay there now and can't do any exercise or anything. And, you know, just limited to like 50% pressure on the leg, you know, to move around some. But, you know, her bones are so brittle. So she's been up there all that time. And, you know, we've been up and back a few times and then, you know, just dealing with, I'm taking her through the end of that process, Jesse, you know, getting her finally approved for,
I'm still
the Medicaid long-term care.
Just so you know,
you have to be admitted.
My parents just got approved because there's been no funding, and it's been a month and a half wait since all the stuff was done, just so you know.
Yeah, it takes time. And up there, because my sister's in Jacksonville, they're short-staffed, and the whole state system's been hit by so many applications of people that have moved here.
They're
kind of overwhelmed. And they don't even go out and do in-person interviews. That's the lady had called me from the state to go over stuff.
Yeah, they're doing them now.
Because of COVID.
So you know.
They're doing
They changed that. They're doing in-person.
Oh, no, I just talked to the woman yesterday, and she said they're not doing it
anymore. She told me they are. They're scheduling it. I'm waiting for her call.
Where is that? Yeah. Orlando?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's
supposed to depend on where you are.
Yeah.
So that's taken a lot, that and dealing with all, you know, all the stuff related. You know, this has been 2.5 years now. Dealing with that, but other than that, everything's going well. I don't have any litigation. I keep everything I get. I look at it carefully, like to, and then I have to think, do I really want to go down that road?
Right?
Because there's nothing too urgent, but it you just look at things differently. So,
yeah, you do. Well, I've had a couple calls from debt collectors that they were looking for somebody else.
Hold on, Dave. Hold on. He's still talking. Go ahead, John.
Yeah.
I had a real estate agent. You know, they have all these automated programs like, hey, I've been trying to reach you about your property, blah, blah, blah. And off to the side, I know the state regulatory board is looking at advertising now, and that people are going to have to disclose in text messages who they are, what company they work for, and what their phone number is there instead of just blindly text messaging. But I keep getting these repeat ones, and my mom gets them on her phone, too, for her house, and I get them for her house, and I get them for my house. And they've called me once, and I'm like, who are you? You know, why are you calling? And you know, what's your foot, you know, and you start asking them a bunch of questions. They hang up on you just like a debt collector would. But, you know, I did find that website way back when. I think it was a law firm in Arizona that specialized in suing people for text message TCPA violations. And, you know, when you get a dozen of them from the same party, it makes you think like, do you want to do that? Because it's just such a pain in the ass getting those. I had girl who'd text and then called, and she called, you know, and I'm on the state do not call and national do not call, and she didn't really know what she was doing, and I just scared the shit out of her, and she had some guy boyfriend or whatever call me. It's like, you know, she's like really scared, and you're going to haul her into federal court, and can't we work something out?
Are you serious?
I let that go. I said, well, she could write me a check. You know, I'll come pick it up, and then we'll take care of it. Well, she doesn't have any money. She's going to go broke because she shouldn't have gone to the seminar that she went to. I go, well, that's not my problem. She's the one harassing me.
That is freaking
awesome.
And
I said, now you're calling. Now you're calling on my phone. It's on the national and state do not call list soliciting me to do something. You know, so who said you could call me on her behalf? Ooh. Are you her attorney? And
I'm sure
you wanted to get off the phone. Other than that, you know, no, I haven't pulled the trigger on anything new. So, but I've thought about it.
I have too, I must admit. And I haven't done a thing.
Well,
so it is fine.
Yeah, what's been interesting for me is I've had two or three things in the last probably 6 or 8 months where I got calls, and one of them showed right on there. It was a debt collector that I'm familiar with. Don't even remember which one it was, but I answered the phone and said hello, and there was immediately a person there. There was somebody right there. It wasn't, there was no delay, there was no clicking, no nothing. So, you know, what we've done over the last 10 years with all the TCPA litigation that we engaged in and spearheaded and stuff, that has definitely changed the landscape out here on how these people are bothering people with the phone calls. Not everybody has stopped, but I'll tell you what, it's can you remember back what it was 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was absolutely astounding how many calls I used to get and you guys got, and you know, when we understood that there was something there, we started viewing it with a whole different eye. Instead of, you know, I'm pissed at you calling me, all of a sudden it was like, ooh, call me some more, you know, cha-ching. But you know, that has changed in large part because of the some of the most recent decisions, especially the one coming out of the Supreme Court on TCPA. That changes the whole ball game and makes if you do get into a TCPA litigation situation, you've really got to know what you're doing. Otherwise, you're going to get blown out right at after you file, because they'll do a motion to dismiss and cite the Facebook case. And most of the courts are dumping the suits. Very few of them going forward.
Made it useless.
Yep.
The Facebook case.
Unfortunately.
I'm completely lost.
Oh, the Facebook Supreme Court case? Do good, D-U-G-U-I-D? Facebook versus them, yeah. It basically went back to the language. They went back to the language of the TCPA, and they said that the FCC didn't have the authority to change the definition of an auto dialer. So they went back and said the strict language of the statute is what stands, and because the FCC is the one that made the ruling. If, you know, they are calling you with a machine that dials, didn't have your consent, you're done. Well, if you go back, to the language, well, hang on, let me finish, Terry. If you go back to the language of the TCPA, they have to call you with a predictive dialer, and nobody's using predictive dialers anymore.
No.
Right, and you know, and you have to realize on this one, the Supreme Court is correct. The FCC is a regulatory body. It does not have the authority and power to change the language of bills passed in Congress. Only Congress can do that. And
same thing with the CDC and this eviction stuff.
That's
well,
right.
Yeah,
they're
not a government entity.
It's going to blow sky high. And I'll tell you what else isn't. By a long shot, it's not even a regulatory agency, the CDC.
Right.
The what?
Yep.
CDC.
That's what I just said. The CDC doesn't have the authority to pull these moratoriums, Terry.
Yeah.
They're
a private business.
Oh, I thought you were... I'm sorry. I thought I heard you say CF.
Yeah, the CDC does not have the authority to do what
they
doing.
Don't have any authority to do anything.
But the Supreme Court didn't want to hear it. Did you guys know about
that's
this,
what's
correct?
Interesting. Yeah, what's interesting about the situation with the CDC and the eviction moratorium is there was just a Supreme Court ruling where the Supreme Court said, you don't have the authority to do that. Well, Biden turned around, and after the thing expired, he said, oh, yeah, they do. We'll put it in place. We're going to stop it. He just unilaterally made that decision.
Well, somebody did.
And the Supreme Court, somebody has to bring it before the Supreme Court again. in some form or fashion to challenge it, because the Biden regime is just absolutely in your face, flouting what the Supreme Court decision was. But that's nothing new. Look at everything else in the world that's happening around the Biden regime.
Biden's not blowing his own nose. Whoever's pulling the strings is doing it.
China, Terry, come on. Listen, I don't want to go down this route. We have listeners, so let's address our listeners before we go down any route. Because I know the exact, I agree with everything you're saying. I don't believe a damn word that them idiots are saying. I never have and I won't. But,
neither.
At the end of the day, I don't want to go down a political conversation if we have listeners sitting here waiting to ask questions. That's all.
No,
so, we're going to see if anybody has got a question for us. If anybody has a question or has a comment about things, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. That'll put you in the queue. And we can take your call and hopefully help you with whatever situation you're dealing with. That's why we're here. So we'll get going here. And we've got somebody that's showing all ones. That's usually a Skype call. So we're going to go to 111111. You've been unmuted. If you just heard, you are unmuted. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening, everyone. This is Brian.
Hello.
Kim. And hi, thank you for my call. Thank you for answering. Okay, so long story short, this is regarding our situation on a state court where we had a business truck repossessed, and we are now in a situation on negotiating on settlement. We've been dealing with this lawyer quite some time. We had filed a grievance on this lawyer. This is the one who was arrogant, had cursed at Brian over the phone. And I gave Dave and Terry the situation, what happened, arbitration. So we actually met with this gentleman yesterday over the phone trying to negotiate. And I had to record and type up what this man has said to us. And the amount that they claim we owe is close to 40. That's with 40,000. That's including court fees, lawyer fees, interest, and so forth. When we did our calculation, our amount came up to close to $23,000. So we never got that to that point yet regarding the judge. We have a hearing set in October, and the judge says that we can work it out, fine. If not, the hearing is set for then. Well, we called the lawyer, and it started off pretty nice. Brian has stated that when we started, and let me go how we said it. It says, hello, how you doing? Brian said, we're doing okay. With all this COVID this year and last year, it's hard, and we are just surviving. We are strapped for cash right now. And so Brian offered an amount. He says, okay, we have, right now we can at least work with $2,200, okay? And so the gentleman says, so, well, after Brian says, we got about $2,200 right now. Because with COVID, we are hard and strapped for cash, and we're just surviving. And the lawyer goes, okay, well, if you don't have an offer, we will go ahead and schedule a motion for summary judgment, and we will keep moving it forward. So Brian says, so you're saying that you're going to schedule a motion for summary judgment? He says, yes. And then Brian says, well, we can't do anything right now, I guess, since we don't have anything that you are not even listening to us. Eventually, we will think about just filing bankruptcy. That might work for us. So he goes, that is fine. He said, I see at the end, I think the result of this lawsuit is that you are pretty much begged into the process. So if you guys are contemplating bankruptcy, I would suggest you exploring that sooner than later. You'd be probably better off if you do not do it before the judgment get entered. But that's your call. But if that is what you are, that is where you're at, then that's what you need to do. The only way this is going away is with the through conclusion of the lawsuit or through settlement. And what I'm hearing, you have no ability to settle the case, so I guess we will start litigating then. And Brian said, wait a minute, we said we had some money, but I don't know what your clients are looking for because the way those numbers were, it was not out of content. It was out of content. But that is what we are calling about. We told you what we had right now. We don't know what they are going to do or come back with, your client. Look, we are looking to take the first step for the settlement. And then you talk about summary judgment. Hey, either this way or no way. Then he says, I guess I am needing an offer then to settle. We are fine if you guys are looking for settlement. We are fine with that, but you need to make an offer. And Brian said, I just did. I said I have $200 right now. He says, so, you said you, he said, huh, you saying that is different than what you're saying? Is that an offer? So Brian said, wait a minute. Are you saying that what I'm saying is different from what I'm saying is an offer that is not an offer? It got ugly. Then he says, look.
Listen, you know you can't get ugly no matter what. You're laughing every other sentence.
I don't believe it's that ugly. He says, look, but it wasn't couched as an offer, so I'm listening. You are not going to get this done for $2,200. You're not going to get it done for $5,000. You're not going to get it done for $10,000. I think it's going to take somewhere between 50 to 100% of the debt. I don't know where that number is, and I won't know until we get there, quite frankly. And your offer is $2,200. I can certainly take it to my client, and they will come back and discount it $1,500, and we will volley back and forth 400 times at you moving $500 every time. What I would suggest is let it to a number that is appetizing enough that it warrants a response, and I wouldn't consider that $2,200 over such an offer. And Brian says, well, how do you know? I mean, this is what you're saying, but not what your client is saying, right? He goes, all right, I would take them the offer, but I could tell you what's coming. They're going to discount it about $1,000, maybe $2,000. I am not misleading you, but saying it may take between 50 and 100%. And if you want to make sure you're not leaving money on the table, then offer 30%. I get that, but the $2,000 is a bit ridiculous. But if that's where you want to start, honestly, that will not keep us from filing on our motion for summary judgment. To me, it doesn't present a very sincere offer to settle the debt, but I will take it to them if that's what you want me to do. Brian goes, yeah. He said, okay, so when will you pay the $2,200? Brian said, well, I guess as soon as we come to this agreement. He goes, so within 7 days of expecting it? And then I go, yes, with some issues because of the negative report on our credit. And he says, yeah. Honestly, there is nothing pending in the lawsuit that warrants that. There is no possibility of you getting that relief in the court. So I don't want to bog down in something you can't get in court. So I will not be addressing credit reporting. He says, listen, I'm going to be honest with you guys. There is a part of me that believes you guys are very nice folks and got yourself in a bad spot and tried to work it out with you. But I have seen some of your lawsuits, and you have filed, and you seem to have a thing with creditors. It seems like you get into deals with folks, and you try to hose them. That is a pattern. I am struggling to see how much time I'm going to invest in this discussion because someone who has filed some of the lawsuits you have, it appears you have a chip on your shoulders regards to creditors. And I said,
dishonest one, you betcha.
Yes. And I said, I am sorry you feel that way. That is your appearance of what you see. It all started because we lost anything. Next thing you know, once the business went down, once the people signed contracts, unless they're going to do things, they don't. Just like your client, just like you are doing to us. They didn't pay us for the work we did. All we try to do is do the right thing for everyone. We are not looking to hose anyone. We had perfect credit, trying to do the best we can as two individuals and trying to make it ahead. Leaving the city, coming to the South in old age, we didn't do anything wrong. We didn't know what to do and how to do it. All those creditors, we didn't sue them. They sued us first. So look at the records correctly. They sued. What would you do? Any questions with that? Yes, you know, just like you are asking you. So there is nothing we have. It is what it is. As you see on the records, we owe. There's others coming at us just like you. And so we will not sit still doing nothing. So that is why we have lawsuits, okay? You can't get money out of us, you know. We don't have blood. We're not turnips, okay? You can't get a turnip. I said you can't get blood out of a turnip, okay? Believe me, we tried to work with your client. We gracefully had to take that truck and give it back. We couldn't do anything because we know we owe. That was understood with your client. We got paperwork. We couldn't pay. So we are to keep our survive. So I am so sorry you felt that way, and I'm not giving you facts. I'm giving you facts on how we are dealing with life right now. So to the best we can. He goes, all pause. He goes, well, I guess I'm hearing that you don't have anything. So that is the case, then there's no point in taking the time to settle or trying to settle if you don't have anything. I said, you're twisting words. We didn't say anything. We offered you $2,200. He paused. He goes, oh, okay, all right. I will take it to them, and I will talk to my clients. I know that the offer is going to be coming back, but I'm not going to waste my time going back and forth on $1,000 at a time. My client position is at 50%, and there's no point in having that discussion if you guys are not willing to pay that you are not able to pay or you are wanting to pay or something or other. I am not interested at all in spinning my wheels. So give some thought to it, and if you might be able to come up with $20,000 to $30,000 over time, then we can talk. If not, we might just plug on settlement and move things along. But first thing first, I will take the $2,200 offer to my clients and see what they have to say and circle back with you. And Brian goes, okay.
But let's be clear. They got their truck back, right?
Yes.
They got the truck. Okay? They're not out anything. And so it sounds to me like this lawyer's determined that his client end up with zero instead of anything.
Well,
now,
you got to wait until
told...
their client speaks and, you know, gives you an official, you know, a response. You know, let's hurry up and wait.
Okay. That's
well,
what we're
chances
do.
Are, from what you've told us, Kim, chances are that they're not going to be willing to settle for the small amount.
Right.
But you
I
don't know that.
That
until you get the response. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's a negotiation.
Was this a lease or a purchase?
What did you say,
was
Brian?
It a lease or a purchase?
It was a
I
lease.
I know, but from a lease or a purchase? It was a lease?
It was
and
lease.
Now he's
and
coming back and he's trying to collect money for outstanding payments or something?
Okay, let me say that correctly. It was a lease agreement, and we purchased a truck on the lease agreement, and they sold the truck for $96,000.
Whoa.
96,000?
A truck for 96,000? What the hell was it?
It was a dump truck. It was a brand new 2000.
Work truck. Okay.
Yeah.
So the truck was
okay. So it was a lease. You couldn't make payments. You gave it back, and now they're coming after you to try to collect some money.
Yes.
And the lawyer is a debt collector.
Yeah, what state though, too?
This is North Carolina.
Okay. So just check something, John, just like I did here. So I used to win all the repossession. Because remember, when shit hit the fan, excuse my French, I had 4 cars and 2 boats. And I gave all that back. I voluntarily gave it back. And then they sold it, and they tried to come after me for deficiencies. And there's a law in Florida that says before they sell it at auction, they got to notify you of where it's going to take place, the time, blah, 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 blah. So you have the chance to go down there and bid on the same thing that everybody else is bidding on.
Right.
Well, they didn't do it on anything. So I've won every single case. As a matter of fact, I countersued them, and I won under the FDCPA and FDCPA because they violated the state statute. They didn't have the right to collect that debt, but they still attempted to. So they wound up having to pay me, which the judges didn't like. It was funny enough. The judges didn't like it. You know, saying, man, you owe them technically, but technically they screwed up. So, you know, it works real, real well in your favor. So.
But one thing she said, you know, with the outline is that, you know, they're wherever they are in this lawsuit, they're trying to make some type of a settlement offer. The judge told them to get this done now before we move on to the next part. And what did this guy do on the phone call? He was threatening to take a legal action. The summary judgment, you know, is another, we know from the basic FDCPA stuff, for a lawyer to take any action in the case is a legal action. So he's attempting to collect a debt by doing that, and he's threatening that if you don't come up with more money, that he's going to collect on the debt, you know, using the court. But he hasn't, he says, I don't know how much money you actually owe. So he has to give an amount. He has to get, they have to disclose all that stuff to you, and he's failed to do this. And he's throwing out arbitrary amounts saying, if you don't come up with this, I'm going to haul you into court for a summary judgment hearing, and I'm going to collect. So, I think he gave you enough ammunition to sue him.
That was a new one.
I hate debt collectors. I hate debt collector attorneys, you know. And I like to
right.
see them cry. And that guy, don't you, Jesse?
Oh yeah. Listen, I'm going to sound terrible.
I have an agreement
today. Yeah. So today, there was a. I have to have TikTok channels and Facebook channels and Instagram, and you know, I have all that for all my other business. I have to. And there was an attorney today talking on TikTok, two of them. About employer mandates and stuff. And I said to the guy, I said, you have my information. You can contact me at any time. I'd love to see you in a court of law, and I will whip your ass as a pro se because you don't know what the hell you're spewing to these people. And I put that out there very publicly. I'm still have not heard from the guy. And then there's another guy that's saying the same thing. He's on the opposite end saying, hey, these mandates are illegal. It violates the Nuremberg 1947. It violates all kinds of things. And they're feeding the lies, and, you know, we need to turn. And I sent him a message saying, hey, I could be your lead plaintiff in a class action because I'm very well-versed in the federal court system. I'll wait for him to call me. So it can go both ways, man, because I want to start a federal class action lawsuit against the government and everybody, the CDC, the WHO, I mean, everybody involved, and just bring this, you know, up
NIH.
To, yeah,
oh.
I really do. I'm not kidding you. I'm so, like I told my wife, it's ridiculous, but it's time. It has to happen. Somebody needs to turn on these people because it's going to go crazy. So anyway, I don't want to get distracted. I'm just saying, that's how much I hate attorneys. I just called his ass out in front of his 10,000 followers, whatever the hell it is, you know, and letting them know you're full of shit, basically, and I'll whip your ass as a pro se. You know, I'm waiting for the response. I haven't had it yet. That's all.
They're probably
Huh?
That's great.
Yeah, it is.
So they're probably still choking and spitting on what you said.
Well, tough shit. I'm ready to rock and roll whenever they are. I'm about as pissed off as anybody should get. So, yeah, I'm very, very upset with this whole mess, and my wife's all nervous. You know, she's like, "Oh, here you go again. You're gonna freaking start all over again. I, you know, being on the news and people are gonna want to kill you." You know, a lot of you guys.
What?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of you guys don't know, you know, the listeners. I know some of the moderators, but I was on the news pretty regularly around here for foreclosure stuff. You know, and I would throw the courts under the bus and tell them how crooked the judges are and, you know, they're violating constitutional rights by having interest in these companies while making ruling against the homeowner to benefit him and his stockholders. And, you know, I mean, I had judges transferred out. I had judges dismissed. I had, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. And so – Danny always thought I had a bullseye on my head somewhere. She says, "You're going to go fishing and never come home." You're going to go fishing and never come home. She says, "You're not that hard of a target to find." I says, "I know I'm not. I don't care." You know? But so, you know, at the end of the day, now she's like really upset because I told her the same thing. I said, "Something's got to happen. You know, somebody's got to start something. And whatever that is, you know, I'm not going to say any words, but something, somebody's got to start popping off at these guys and mean it seriously. So it's a joke. Everything I've seen on the news is a joke. And so Danny's just upset with me. She's like, "Don't you talk that way. Don't you start saying this. Don't you?" Because I'm like so freaking mad I can't see straight, you know. So it's not a fun thing. So, yeah, I don't like attorneys, period. That's the whole moral of the story is I don't like them, period. Especially if they're against the people, you know. So and then you have attorneys like this clown who's supposed to be an employer attorney helping people, but he's giving out wrong advice because he doesn't want to fight the status quo, you know, and that's wrong too, you know. So
yes,
whatever, there's no morals. There's just no morals anymore. It's gone. You know, right is wrong, and wrong is wrong, and nothing's right. What the hell, you know? Or wrong is right, and wrong is wrong, and there's no right. That's what I meant to say, you know.
Okay, Jesse, the case you just talked about, I don't know if we have that law here in North Carolina, but do you have any memory of when and where that was? I can look it up.
No, it's just a statute. You need to look at repossession statutes in North Carolina.
Okay.
And then read them. That's what I did. There's no case in Florida that's going to help you there. Those are all my cases, so it doesn't really matter. They're not going to help you there. And they're all state, right, the circuit courts and small claims. So none of them were federal. So, again, that's not going to help you. So, you know, that was when I was doing those is before I knew don't file federal in the small claims because they could move it. Luckily, none of these people moved it because they knew they were going to lose. So what was the point? You're still going to have to pay me the $4,000, you know, period. And they did. I settled for 50 cents on the dollar or 75 cents, but still, no matter. They knew they weren't going anywhere. And then I got, you know, jimmied up one time when they moved it to federal. I'm like, "Oh, I better learn federal stuff real quick." You know? So, yeah, that happened to all of us because we didn't know, you know, but that's what I mean. We have a lot of years of experience, and so we know how to dodge bullets, you know. And I'm back in that, you know,
and
I want to start.
Federal court is easier.
Oh, yeah. Like I always said, man, you know, here's something I'm trying to promote that I thought of last week. I said, you know, I put something up on Facebook, and Facebook put me in jail for 3 days, and 60, 70 other people have it. Okay, because I found it through, like, jump, you know, I found your stuff, right? I went to your Facebook page, just for example. And there it was, and I thought, wow, so I'm going to download that picture, and I'm going to put it up on my page. Well, they shut me down for 3 days. Well, they didn't shut John down. And then I went hunting, and I found it in 70, 80 other people's things. So I was thinking I was going to sue Facebook for discrimination because I'm Spanish, not because of anything else, just because I'm Spanish, in the small claims court. For $4,999.99. So they have to send somebody to the court. See, they can't get out of it. They can't court you to death. They can't lawyer you to death. You stuck. You sue them in little court. And if you get, if I start a website promoting this all over the United States, sue Zuckerberg, sue Twitter, sue Instagram, sue TikTok, in small claims, they'll be overrun with lawsuits. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. Because they have to send lawyers. They don't have a choice. Or give it up. And if they give up, the losses are going to be everywhere, and everybody will be bragging about it. And that's all bad PR. You know what I mean?
I love it.
Either way, they won't be popular.
Yeah, that target on your back will get a little bigger.
Yeah.
Like he cares.
Oh, no, I know he doesn't care.
Of course, it might give Danny a heart attack, but, you know. No, I love it, Jesse.
Well, if you...
But I'm honoring.
If you set up the website, Jesse, you can get Mike Lindell to promote it for you because he's always taught he hates Suckabuck. He calls him Mark Suckabuck.
Yeah, I watched the whole symposium and he kept calling him Suckabuck.
Yeah,
but yeah, so you sue small claims, they're stuck, right? And then I also, in that website, I want to say sue your employer if they're calling for any mandates, and then do the same thing. Sue them all in small claims courts. Don't go to the circuit courts. Don't go to the federal courts. Don't try to show off. Sue them all, whatever that limit is. California, it's $10,000. Florida, it's $5,000. I don't know who has what limits, but whatever those limits are, stay under there. That way they're forced to send somebody to court. You follow? And if you get thousands upon thousands of people suing, then this will have to make news. This will have to work. It's not going to go away. So, but, you know, this is one way to attack them where they don't have anywhere to run. They can't run. So I'm lawyering them to death. Does that make sense? They're going to, if you get 100,000 people filing small claims lawsuits all over the country against each one of these firms, you know, now you're lawyering them to death, you know. So I do want to do that. I'm not kidding you. Huh?
No, I know. I think it's a good plan and it's a good tactic. Because what I always believed in, like the lawyer complained about, you know, every time we file a motion, you know, he files this and he files that, and you know, and I keep, you know, he was trying to say I was multiplying the proceedings, but I wasn't. I was very, very carefully following all we learned by reading all the books we had on how to do motions and motion practice and stuff like that, and you know, and he filed 17 motions in limine, you know, and. So what? I mean, that's
that.
What, you know, we hear about these organizations that practice lawfare do. They go out and they tie things up forever in court. And so that's something that everyone can do easily, especially in small claims court. And like you said, I mean, just if you had 10 people in every town that did it.
Turnabout is fair play, isn't it?
It is.
Well, do you see what I'm saying? So, John, how busy are you lately?
Yeah.
You want to help me with this?
Well, sure. Sure.
No,
I mean,
I'm not kidding you. This is something I want to do. Yeah, Terry.
I know.
I'm not kidding you. Yeah. And I'll start our own calls with it. I mean, I can get it rolling. My wife is freaking literally, excuse my French, everybody going to cut my nuts off. Because she's like, don't do this. You don't need the money. It's not about money. I said, this ain't got nothing to do with money, babe. Zero.
No, it's not about money.
No,
And it's not
right or wrong
either.
It's
right.
Not political.
It's, you know,
right. This is absolutely 100% sticking up for your rights. And you're not going to tell me that, you know, here's the bottom line. I did a video today on TikTok, and I basically said this. These people want people, and I said, I feel bad for the people in New York, because the reality is, I mean, it's their fault to begin with. Don't get me wrong. You voted these dummies in. Now this is the wrath of what you got, right? So we have a great governor. You guys have a great governor over there, Dave. So, you know, it's yours ain't as good as mine, but it's still good, okay? So the reality is we voted this way, and this is what we got. So we reap the benefits and of the rewards of what we put in office, right? Well, you guys are reaping the rewards of the pieces of crap that you guys have been putting in office for years and years and years. So the video basically said, you know, I feel bad for the people that can't go to a restaurant, can't go to a grocery store, can't go anything without a vaccine pass. But anybody with full-blown AIDS, hepatitis C or B, what else? Oh, the HIV,
bacterial pneumonia,
HPV virus, herpes, you know, pneumonia, gonorrhea. I listed so many damn diseases that are communicable by literally spit. You know, and nobody can ask you a thing, because in reality is, if you ask me one thing, if I have AIDS, or do I have an AIDS card, or have I been treated for AIDS, I will slap the shit out of you, and I will sue the shit out of you. So now it's okay for you to ask me if I have a stupid card for a virus? Now, the facts are the virus is what's actually killing people. The shot, not the virus. The virus people, the people who are getting the shot are the ones spreading the damn virus. Now science is going that way. So what happened to this? So you're the super spreader now, but I can't come to see you without a mask. Wait a minute, shouldn't you have the mask, and shouldn't you not be allowed me? if you're vaccinated, you shouldn't be around me. So anyway, I said that all in 60 seconds, believe it or not. So it just made a lot of sense when I was thinking through. I was driving, and I thought, man, I can't believe the audacity that the New York City mayor, this de Blasio, is coming to. Somebody ought to take a bat and break his freaking kneecaps. You know, I don't understand what the world's coming to and people are allowing it to happen. You know, 24,000 kids vaccinated in Australia by force now. People locked down in Australia, $5,000 fine if they catch you outside. You can't even have a beer or a cocktail and pull your mask down in a public space. Really? This is all about
in New Zealand,
nothing more.
In New Zealand, they all got to stay locked in their houses, and they've been told they're not allowed to talk to their neighbors now.
No, it's the same in Australia. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, that is not going to fly here.
Yeah.
No.
I bet you, you know, the Australian people have to be kicking themselves in the butt huge now for allowing themselves to be disarmed.
Well, that's what they get. It was 1996, right?
Yep.
Well, we got the situation here in Dallas County where Judge Jenkins that did the mask mandate last year, and that gal with the hair salon defied it, and they threw her in jail, and the Supreme Court said, oh, no, you let her out. Well, Judge Jenkins, just effective last week, said everybody that's in a business here had to wear masks again. They took it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court of Texas told him to go pound sand.
Yep.
They tried to do that
there
in San Antonio and in Dallas. And the Supreme Court said, no, you don't have the authority. Because the governor said no other governmental organization can put in place a mask mandate.
Yeah.
And he did it anyway.
Or even schools, et cetera. There's two counties that are trying to force a mask mandate on the schools. And Governor Abbott had signed a ban on it, and one of the courts overruled his ban, and that got taken to the Texas Supreme Court, and the Texas Supreme Court said, oh, no, the ban stands.
Yep.
You will not force mandate anything.
All right. Well,
now
we need to finish up with Kim on her stuff, and we've got another caller.
Okay. I was enjoying everything you were saying. Okay, so right now it's just a hurry up and wait game, as you said. And the situation on – my question is, when he threatened the motion to file a summary judgment – don't we have to wait until we have the hearing with the judge, or the hearing is going to involve him filing the motion for summary judgment?
The hearing is going to be a summary judgment motion hearing is what he's threatened. He said, we're just going to go ahead and do that. If you don't have an offer for me, we're going to go ahead and file a summary judgment motion, and you're going to have a motion hearing on that. The judge has instructed, you guys to try to work something out, but he was trying to put the words in your mouth that you don't have anything to work it out with. So you were good that you made him a firm offer that he has. He's going to take it to his client, and he says he's going to come back, and there isn't going to be anything, and then we'll probably end up with summary judgment. You might as well declare bankruptcy, which is him also giving you legal advice, which he probably didn't say, this isn't legal advice, but you should go ahead and do this. When he comes back and says, well, I presented your offer, but they just, they said we're too far off, blah, 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 so we're going to have to go ahead and file the summary judgment motion. And you can say, well, then I guess you know what my next move is going to have to be in federal court.
Damn.
Well, am I remembering correctly?
Right.
Wasn't it that lawyer who came to you guys about a settlement?
Right.
Discussion?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah. It wasn't even the settlement. Wasn't even their idea. It was that lawyer that said, let's just settle it.
So you've made an offer of settlement, and he needs to take it to his client, and then you go from there. If he comes back and says, well, my client says no, well, okay, we'll up the ante to $2,250.
Right, because he has to go back, correct? He has to go back because we made another offer.
Exactly.
Well, listen, you know, as much as he doesn't want to play table tennis, like he was saying, it's billable time. I mean, if he could have a five-minute conversation with you and a 10-minute conversation with them, that's 15 minutes on the rate. If he's going back every couple of days, he's making money for nothing, you know? Just being the courier with the offer back and forth. But if he says he doesn't want to do that, let him know what you're going to have to do.
Interesting. Exactly. Because that's what he said.
Because
I'm not going to be sitting here.
Suddenly,
he said that
that's
too.
When it goes, listen, that's when it goes to the point of I'm getting billable time for doing this, and if I take this other tact, I'm going to have to hire someone to defend me that's going to be more expensive than my pay grade because it's going to be in federal court. And that has helped things for a lot of people, just that threat hanging over him to make him work a little harder to try to get it settled instead of work a little harder for his client. He should be working to try to get it settled. You know, all you're looking for is an amicable settlement that's reasonable for both parties. And, you know, when he comes up with a high figure, that's not reasonable to you. So it's not an amicable settlement agreement. And he's going to have to work a little harder. And if not, as he can imagine, it wouldn't take you long to draft a federal lawsuit. And you know where he is for service.
Yeah, he's already admitted that he knows you are capable of doing that. He's already, you know, researched you.
Okay. All right.
He's in the enviable position of being a FDCPA debt collector.
Okay. But I thought we couldn't do FDCPA because this was a contract that was signed with us as the guarantee.
No, stop. It doesn't have anything to do with the issue you have going on in this suit. What it has to do is his violations of the FDCPA during that conference you had with him. That's a completely different issue. He is acting as a debt collector and violated the FDCPA. It doesn't have anything to do with the case you're in.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got to keep in mind, remember, the FDCPA is about their violations of the law and attempting to collect the debt. It's got nothing to do with the debt whatsoever.
Yep.
Okay, that I understand. So by his verbiage, the way he has made the threat, he's actually in violation. I'm
because
trying to
he's
piece
acting
that together.
As a debt collector.
Ah.
You know, when we're done with this call, you need to go back and re-listen to what John was telling you after you read the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. I sure will, because I know he mentioned about that and summary judgment and what he said. Okay, I can do that. I could do more homework research
because,
on that.
I mean, some of my first cases were just on that point when, you know, I didn't really know any of this stuff, and I was being sued by one of Terry's favorite companies. And Dave's favorite company starts with an M. So I just figured, you know, I ended up beating them in the collection lawsuit against me. But I figured out by listening to these calls that everything they did, it's not being served with a lawsuit isn't a violation. Them filing a lawsuit can be a violation, but every single piece of paper or every motion they file after that can be an act of debt collection. So in other words, yep. One of the favorite things that a lot of lawyers do is when they serve you, and then like 10 days later, you get a letter from the law firm, and it says, by now you probably realize you've been served, and we'd like to work out blah, 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 settlement on your outstanding balance, blah, 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 you know, all this stuff in the letter. Well, did they have a mini Miranda in there or not? And it was signed by the head of the law firm, and it wasn't to the litigation. It was to collect money. That was the purpose of the letter. So that's a violation. And when they set you up, when they sending discovery to you with certain loaded questions in there can be an act of collection. Many things that they do can be an act of collection. You just got to step back and look at it. So the conversation, I picked up a number of things. And as Jesse always said, we've got the frequently violated FTCPA guidelines. It's on the website. And if you sit there and you think about whatever you're looking at, all your documents and all your stuff, and look at the guidelines, now which one can I make fit that paragraph? What did he say here that violated this section of the FDCPA? Go down and make a punch list. I mean, you can come up with, we used to brainstorm on these calls and come up with tons of stuff. There's always a reason to sue.
We did.
There's always a reason to sue. And then as one of the lawyers said to me, he says, sir, you have to learn to pick your battles. And that's true. So you got to triage them and find out the one that you can probably carry the ball the farthest on the easiest, because you only need one thing to be a violation. And, you know, by throwing in too many things, it ends up being the shotgun approach of throwing everything and see what sticks, which they don't like, and they want you to go ahead and do so they can get it dismissed. But if you limit it to two or three violations and you complete it out really well, you're in a really good place, and it's not hard to do.
Well, how about the amount and character of the debt?
Well, that was part of it when I was
– Yeah, well, I'm saying that's
before.
A starting
that's what
point.
I heard the guy say he didn't know how much it was or anything. Well, they're supposed to be able to give you all those exact calculations. He's working on behalf of his client as he's a debt collector, and he doesn't know what he's trying to collect. Yet he's throwing out these large arbitrary numbers and telling you your offer is worthless. I mean, really? Does he have signing authority for his client? Does he have that in writing? And have you received a settlement demand letter from their side?
No.
They were. He was trying to get you to throw out your offer before you had a settlement demand from them. They're the ones that are after you. They should make a demand.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, he was quite arrogant.
No. I'm not yelling at you or anything like that. But I'm just saying, when you think about it in a negotiation like that, if they're doing the suing, if they're the aggressor, they usually have to put in writing their demand for settlement that they come to you. And it could be, okay, you know, you owe 94, we'll take 93,000. Okay, well, at least you know that's the upper limit, and then you can make your offer on the low end. But you put an offer out there in the first place, which shows that you held out the olive branch first, even though he was trying to characterize you as with hyperbole, as a habitual debtor, skinflint, you know, all, you know, whatever adjectives you want to use to describe it, you know, saying that you're a debtor that don't pay your debt, and then you turn around and sue people, which, hey, he's someone that's suing people. So what's he talking about?
You're so right. And I didn't make that comment at you. I was just saying how rude he was, because he was so arrogant and tried to be so demeaning, pushing his weight around. Like, wow.
Well, he's a lawyer. I mean,
that's what they're trained to do. They're trained to do that, to intimidate and belittle and do whatever it takes to win their case. They don't learn law in law school.
You know,
they learn the intimidation and all these other tactics.
If you've looked him up or not, you know, if he's, you know, just like out of school and probably the thing that I always like to think about is that, you know, oh, he's younger than I am and he's just out of school and he's probably got more in student loans than than he's trying to collect from me. And, you know, he's never going to get any, you know, if he's working for a debt collector, he's not going to be working for a big, you know, white shoe firm. And, you know, take him down a couple notches in your mind and he's easier to take out.
Oh, thank you. And that's what we did, because I'm like, okay, look, we're from the hood, so whatever you're trying to say, it's not even working here. Well, and then I stayed blind. He's like, not here. But, okay, I will look into that and wait until the next move. And so at this point, we do nothing until we get the next, like you said, the next settlement amount. And one thing he said that you just said something, John and Dave, everyone, that he said, well, right now, because it's not, you're not serious, I'm just going to go ahead and start filing. But he cannot file until we stop negotiating, and we can't.
Oh yes,
come
he can.
Correct. So
don't make that assumption.
So
you're making an assumption that he's going to do the right thing. Be careful of that.
But what you can nail him down with is, I don't know when your conversation with him was, but after you have a conversation with, you know, dear Mr. Dickweed, thank you for our discussion today and agreeing to take our settlement offer of X to your client. It is our understanding we're going to hear back from you no later than, and, you know, throw some date in there. Looking forward to hearing from you soon. You know, you can nail them down by laying things out in writing as where you are with each step. Even if he's coming to you to make you an offer, follow up in writing, because it's a chain in the email that shows that you're continuing to attempt to negotiate. Don't let him set the narrative that's going to be in front of the court. You can do it by memorializing it in a chain email. You know, so when you send the first email, if he doesn't write back to you, then after your next conversation, just follow that email, forward it to him, and say, you know, whatever the next part is, and memorialize it each time. And if you do that right away, I mean, some lawyers do that, but if you do it right away, you can put your story out there before he puts his in writing. And it's something that you can bring into court very easily.
I have done it, and it is very handy, especially when they're making false claims to the court about, like, for instance, if he claims you and Brian didn't attempt to negotiate in good faith.
Yeah, and you can head that off if you really sit down and think about it. You could lay that out in the first email, you know, thanking him for taking the time to hash things out, because our initial impression was your client had no interest in settlement, despite the judge telling us we should try to resolve this matter between us. And I'm sorry we had to be so persistent, but thank you for agreeing finally to take our initial offer to your client, notwithstanding the fact that they have never provided us with a settlement demand in writing.
Yeah, and another thing you could do,
I mean,
as part of that is you could say in that email, thank you for accepting our call where we called to discuss settlement. What does that do? It establishes that you took the step to contact them in regard to what the court said.
And if you really sit down and do it, you can say everything that you need to say and try to make it as short as possible. And I always think of Jesse's lawyer Tanner, who wrote some of the most interesting pleadings that were. He was so succinct; it was entertaining.
Yes, he's. Tanner's definitely unique, buddy. Him and I are still working on stuff.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff in the pipeline that we're doing. I'm not at liberty to discuss. But, yeah, we have a lot of fun.
We have a lot of fun.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, nothing, like I said, nothing out of this world. Sorry, Jay?
Yeah, so if you sit down and you listen to this recording, you probably can pick up on a bunch of different things you could sue him for. If it hasn't been a bunch of days, you could just follow up in some email and lay it out kind of along the lines of what we've all discussed and then nail it down so you get something you could put in front of the judge. And also, you know, what do lawyers always do? They try to run out the clock. You know, so he'll take your offer and never come back to you and then tell the judge, oh, those people weren't really interested. And you go, wait a second. Here's where we dinged you and dinged you and dinged you with emails and you never responded, never returned our calls after we made our initial offer.
All right.
And all you did was threaten us with summary judgment.
Right.
Yeah, I've had to do that. Actually print out emails back and forth between me and the lawyers when they made false claims to the court, you know, and I'm like, excuse me, here is our conversation. I file.
Yep.
So then I have one more question, and I'm going to let the next person in. I appreciate all your help and time. So at this point in time, once we study everything, understand the reasons for why and how we can sue, would it be a good suggestion if it was you, would you sue before the hearing in October?
You mean before you get to your summary
judgment? I think that would depend on whether they file a motion for summary judgment, and I'm thinking it probably would be to your benefit to sue before then.
Yeah, I don't think I'd
if
wait.
If you're going to.
Yeah.
Right, because it is a separate issue altogether. It has nothing to do with that dude. That he violated you over the phone, and that's between you and the lawyer, not you and his client. It has nothing to do with his client.
Okay. All right. I thank you. And we're going to sit back and wait and start writing and keeping it moving, since he says
yeah,
this is
all
what
you
we
can
do.
Huh?
Right. Thank you again. Wow.
Oh, no worries.
All right. Bye for now.
Okay.
Wow.
Bye. You have a great evening. Thank you.
All right.
We've got several other people that have jumped in the queue here. So we're going to go to 208. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hello. Is that me?
That's
you. That would be you.
Sounds like you. Wow. I'm amazed. This technology drives me nuts. Anyway.
Oh, come on now. It's pretty simple stuff.
Well, yes, it is. If you can keep it simple. Anyway, I had a situation where a company scammed me and really put me into a bad situation. I found out who the company is and where they're at, and I've wondered, they're in a different state. How difficult is to win a small claims from one state to another state to a company?
It's really not that difficult because you're making them come to you.
Yes,
you have to file wherever the action took place, so you don't care where they're at. They're coming to you.
Okay.
Make sense?
I understand.
Okay.
And I have talked to the small claims people, and this one gal it must have been a bad day for her. She was a little hard to communicate with. But I'll continue with that. The other one is forms. I've got a couple of companies because of this that have gone to collection. Where do I find the forms to be able to send to the collection agency and to the what's the term? The
don't know
thing.
What you're trying to get to.
Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to. I wrote down some notes and I can't read my writing.
I have the same problem, so don't feel too bad, fella.
Are you talking about the demand for validation?
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
And for the credit reporting agencies,
yes.
It's a letter of dispute. Those are not
yeah.
forms. We do have in the website
template.
We
yeah.
do have letter examples, which you can just fill in the principles and use that language of the letter. But they're not forms; they're letters that have to be sent.
It's a letter. Now, does that go to the credit bureau?
With the credit bureau, it's a letter of dispute. Whatever information. To the collector, it's a demand for debt validation. And that's under two separate laws. To the credit reporting agencies, that falls under the FCRA, Fair Credit Reporting Act, and to the furnishers, the collectors, whomever it is, that falls under FDCPA. So you've got two separate statutes, but they're two different types of letters.
Okay. They're letters. They're not a form. It's just a letter that I send.
Right,
we've got examples
of the letters on the website, and you'll see in the examples that everything that's in red print, that means you would put your information in there and then turn it to black print, of course, So everything you would need to change on those is highlighted in red font. So all you have to do is plug in your info and then turn it to black font.
Okay, that's in your website, those suggested forms or ideas, is that right?
Those letters, yes, they are. Yeah.
Okay. I think of something and it leaves me about as fast as it comes. The other question, let's see. State, small claims, letter of dispute, demand, this outfit offered me this business that really looked good. And then just out of the blue, they couldn't get me set up. They couldn't get into my computer to set it up. And then they just dumped me. They wouldn't return calls. They wouldn't call me. They wouldn't email me. They wouldn't answer. They wouldn't, and it just left me hanging for, several thousand dollars. And I borrowed that money from the banks. Well, I went back to the banks and asked them if they would dispute that and go back and collect the money. Well, a couple of them did, but a couple of them didn't. Do I have any claim to go back to that bank and say, hey, come on, you didn't follow through. You denied what I needed on this company. Do I have somewhere I can go on that, or am I just caught in the water?
Well, you should make a report to your state attorney general, for one thing.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's I wondered about that.
Consumer Protection Division.
And the Better Business Bureau.
Okay, the state attorney general?
Oh. Right, your state attorney general's office, and generally it'll be the Consumer Protection Division.
I'm writing here. And then what was the other one?
Better Business Bureau.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
BBB.
Okay. Bureau.
How long ago did this happen?
Well, it happened actually a couple of years ago now. I've been battling back and forth trying to get them to do something, and of course they want their money, and I don't blame them, but on the other hand, I'm on Social Security at the low end of it, and with this inflation and everything, my income has not changed, but my costs have doubled. And it's left me in a situation to where I can't make the payments. I can't. I'm stuck.
Look at it this way. There's a couple of things that may not have occurred to you.
It's terrible.
I don't know what state you're in, but if it got down to them seeking a judgment against you for what you owe, if you're on Social Security, you're judgment proof. They can't touch your Social Security. So if you have other assets, like a house and stuff like that, you can take steps to protect your assets before all this happens. Be proactive.
I've already done
Okay. So if you're judgment proof, I wouldn't worry about it too much because there's nothing they can take. They can't garnish your Social Security. They can't touch it. Only debts to the government can do that.
Yeah.
Right. Only the IRS or the federal government could touch your Social Security. They have no way they can do it. So,
yeah.
You know.
It's not a huge amount. You know, it's about $3,000. But you know, it's to me, that's like $100,000.
In your situation,
right,
that's a huge
that's
amount
right.
of money.
Yeah, right.
They continue to slap interest on that. And then they decide to sue you for it, they'll slap on their lawyer's fees. Well, so what? You know, they need to understand, if you're willing to pay it and you can only afford to pay them $10, $20 a month, that beats you giving them nothing, which you can certainly do because you don't have anything they can take, and getting a judgment would do them no good at all.
Go ahead. I say, what about contacting them on a settlement? In other words, I've wondered about this one. They've doubled the amount on me with interest and all these fees and all that, and it's a credit collection outfit. And I thought of maybe just sending a check and writing on the check, paid in full, and if they cash it, I'm done. Can I do something like that?
I don't think I'd do that.
No, I wouldn't do that. And if it's a collection outfit, why on earth would you make a deal with a collection outfit? You don't owe the money to them. You couldn't possibly owe the money to them.
Well, they try to tell me
who is the collection company
now. They own the whole thing.
Oh, they're a debt buyer.
Yeah.
What's the name of the company?
Okay.
Oh, dear. I'll bet you know it, too, and I can't. I don't have any paperwork right here in front of me.
Is it Midland?
Midland. No, it's not Midland.
Portfolio?
It's another one.
Portfolio? Cavalry?
No.
Asset Protection? LVNV?
I think maybe the maybe it's Midland. Midland. Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you something. They don't own anything. All they did was buy a spreadsheet with your name and address and Social Security number and a balance on it on a defaulted account. It was sold, and the account didn't get sold. Just fragmented account data got sold. So you need to send them a demand for debt validation, that letter, okay, too sweet, like right now, because they cannot validate it. They do not own anything. When they buy that fragmented data, they create an account of their own with their own account number as if you were doing business with them, which you never did, and they can do nothing to you.
what it is, and this is strong language, but I've already proven it at the 11th Circuit Court, it is legalized extortion, blackmail. You don't have to pay them anything. They can't make you pay them anything.
Interesting. Okay, that's a demand for debt. What?
Validation.
Validation.
And that letter is on the website. Okay. Debt, it's probably, if you look it up in the website, debt validation letter, if you just put that into the query.
Okay.
There.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate you.
If you can't find it, send me an email at, write this down, Queen Songbird. That's all one word.
Queen?
Queen, like the Queen of England. Songbird, all one word. Queen Songbird, lowercase letters, at
Robert?
Huh?
Robert.
I still couldn't understand what he said.
He said Queen Trawbird?
No,
Queen
Songbird.
Yeah, yeah. Terry, you were turned away from your phone a little bit. Let me try it. Queen Songbird.
Song.
All together. Queen Songbird at gmail.com.
Right, and put in the email, please send me the debt val letter, and I'll send it, a copy to you.
The debt val letter.
Yeah. In fact, just remind me, and I'll send you, because it was my webinars that, you know, those letters got put up on, and I have easy access to them. So I'll just send you the ones for the credit reporting agencies and the one for the collector.
Can I email you, or do I mail you? No, yeah, I'll just email it.
No,
you just
email
yeah.
me, and I
okay.
and I'll shoot them to you.
Now, I was going to tell you, I remember when you guys first started. I remember listening in to some of the programs, and I appreciate what you guys have been doing to help people. And I didn't, at that time, I didn't imagine I'd be in this predicament. And no,
nobody
who
does, ever
no,
does.
Yeah,
yeah.
Nobody ever plans
so
to get in these kind of situations, yeah.
Yeah, and I want to be out of debt. I don't want to owe anybody anything. And
take it to the bank.
Is my goal.
And take it to the bank and sleep well on it. You don't owe and couldn't owe Midland one single dime.
That's good to know. I just found a letter here. They sent me a bill, and for $874, and I don't even know what it's about, but
And always understand this, okay? As far as the debt validation letters, there is never a downside to sending one. It's always a good idea, even in the middle of a lawsuit. John taught me well on that one. Even if you're doing it just to confuse the hell out of them, it doesn't matter. There's never a downside to sending a debt val letter, and that should be the first thing you do when you open a demand for money.
Okay. Now, if I get some of this straightened out, how do I get my credit to straighten out a little bit? How do I talk to the credit people, the three
well,
main
you know,
credit people?
That's partially the purpose for doing the disputes with the credit reporting agencies. But I
okay.
would say, since you're totally green on this, okay, because like you said, you never thought you'd get in this hole. No one ever does.
No.
Take it one thing at a time. Take care of this issue with Midland first, the debt val letter and stuff, okay?
I will.
Then when you do, you really need to go through the webinars that I did in the website
what lines in your credit report. Oh, God, what was the big one, the first one? My mind went blank. The ones on credit reporting that I did, you need to go through those webinars several times because you need to know how to dispute properly with the credit reporting agencies in order to set up a good foundation for forcing them to do what you want them to do.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, I appreciate this. I really do. You guys are tremendous.
You're welcome.
So I'll follow your advice, and I'll send you that email, and thank you very much.
Do you know about Terry's call on Thursday nights?
Not right now, I don't.
Well,
okay.
In that email. Yeah. Go ahead.
When you send me your email, I'm going to add you to my email list, and I will send you the information for the Thursday night call. Now, my calls are every week on Thursday night at 8 Eastern Time. So when I send you the call information, write it down because I don't send that out more than once. I used to send it out every week, but now I can't because of Gmail's restrictions on my email. So when I send it to you, write it down. Don't lose it. And then when you get on my calls, after my call ends each Thursday night, I send out the links and playback numbers for you to be able to go back and listen to the call again or log in and listen to it online, either the phone or online, and you will automatically get that because you'll be in my email list.
Thank you. That will be done.
Okay.
Oh. Hey, thanks again. I'll go to work on it.
You're very welcome. You have a great evening.
Thank you.
All right. We've got two more people in the queue here. I'm waiting for the board to do what it's supposed to do. We're going to go to another 1111111 number. It must be somebody on Skype, maybe. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
I'm busy tonight.
Whoever was just unmuted, you need to speak up or we're going to go ahead and skip over. You had your hand up. All right. Well, there's apparently nobody there, so we're going to go on to our next caller, which is 650. You just been unmuted. 650. You're up to bat.
Yes, it's me. Okay. This is Josephine. Thank you to take my call. And can I start talk?
Yes,
ask
go ahead.
Ask questions?
Yes.
Thank you. My house is auctioned out on June 16, 2021 this year. And I have a surplus fund that the trustee be as Boy, D as David, F as Frank, BDF group, which is a foreclosure mills across the state, refused the claim form and stated, I have some law firm work on my behalf. I just found out they didn't. They lied to BDF, and the BDF insists not to work with me until today. They finally sent me the claim form. My question is this. On the claim form, IRS claimed $500,000 lien, which I didn't file the tax. It's not that I owe them something. And then I have another junior lien, approximately 50,000 old total. I'm wondering, what can I do if the trustee not disburse the fund to those lien holder at all? Do you understand
Jesse?
What I'm saying?
No, I don't understand. Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to
figure
it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let me repeat.
Yes, but I might ask you some questions, okay? So when you hear me ask you a question,
sure.
Pause for a minute. Okay.
Sure.
I know you got the claim form, and I understand that. They didn't want to give it to him, but then there was something about a junior lien, and I'm not putting that together.
Right, because on the preliminary report, I have a few liens. One is IRS. I didn't file tax. They lien the $500,000. Another two liens, which the same person, approximately $50,000 total. And I'm wondering what I can do to not allow the surplus fund.
Yes.
From
so who is okay? So who is the lien on? Is it the IRS?
Correct. IRS.
Yeah. No, you're not going to be able to fight the IRS. If you owe them money, they're going to take the surplus.
Even if you don't, they'll take it.
Yes.
So
here's what you can do. So here's what you can do. So you file for the surplus. And see what happens. You might get the money.
I don't because if they file $500,000 lien against me, I don't have any money left.
I understand that. What I'm telling you is when you file for the overage from the sale, say it's $50,000. I'm just going to throw a number. I don't know what the overage is, but say $50,000. They might send you the check for $50,000 instead of to the IRS. Because if the IRS doesn't step up and say, hey, you owe me that money, they might not send anything. It might just happen to come to you first.
Right.
Does that make sense?
IRS didn't send me any letter or claim the name
at
all.
Right. That's what Jesse's trying to explain to you. If they sent, now let's just go with what Jesse just said. If you file for the overage and the IRS has not been in it, you know, and they didn't communicate with you or nothing, you may get that check for the overage. They may choose to just go ahead and pay you. To hell with the IRS. They're not communicating.
Correct.
They don't want to get involved with all that. So then what you can do is make sure that you save some of that money that you get back from the overage so that if and when the IRS decides that they want to come after whatever their lien amount may be, you could hire an attorney to help, a tax attorney to help you reach a settlement with the IRS.
Exactly.
And you can very often settle for a whole lot less than they want.
Yep.
Okay. What means overreach? What means overreach?
What you're asking?
Okay.
What the overage mean?
What does overage mean? Yes. So if your house was worth $700,000 and they auctioned it for $450,000, and you only owed $400,000, you would have the difference of the $450,000 to the $400,000 go into your pocket.
Okay.
If you would have
actually
sold it on the market, you'd have made the whole retail, but you didn't. So whatever the difference is between the sale and what you owe is what the overage is.
Okay. What overage means surplus fund, right?
Surplus funds, correct, from the sale of your home.
Yes.
Okay, I got it. Thank you. The surplus fund actually is $378,000.
Yeah, you need to go get that money fast.
Yeah.
My it's $500,000. That's what the
IRS. It doesn't matter.
Afraid.
Yes, don't be afraid. Just forget the IRS. Don't even mention the IRS. Just go file for your overage so they can send you a check.
Okay. Okay.
Don't mention the IRS to nothing to nobody. Just go say, hey, you owe me $300,000. When can I get my check?
Actually, they sent me the claim form, which has all the lien there. That's how I found out. So they have all the lien against the, you know, they sent me the surplus claim form and told me those are the liens, but they didn't say what they plan to do.
You should still file for the whole overage. You know, they don't want to fight with the IRS. They don't care.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not their job to take care of liens.
All right.
Make
Thank
sense?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Does that take care of your question?
I have to leave some time for the next couple of callers. I cannot take all the time. I have much more questions, but I will wait until next week.
Okay, so it'll
we
be
have
next
a webinar
month.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, you are going tomorrow?
And Terry
we have
has
a webinar,
Thursday
but that's
too.
On something else. Yeah.
I really feel guilty taking so much time. I need to leave the time for the next caller.
Do we have any callers after her?
We have one other caller. The one that I tried before, it looks like maybe they came back in again, but I can try them. But otherwise... you know, if you want
China,
to continue
if
on
not,
this, we can.
She can. Yes. Well,
okay.
I have a conference call with China here in about 10 minutes. So I thought I'd be wrapped up today by 10, but so I got to get it close.
Okay. Let me go see if these other people are here real quick. And
hold on. Sit tight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. The caller that was just unmuted, are you there for your question?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I didn't know you was talking to me. I heard you said 111 like it was a Skype call, and I was like on the phone.
Yeah.
So I.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm... Oh, okay. How are you? How are you all, I should say?
Fantastic.
Pretty good.
Good. I'm Tarina. I was wondering, I hear you say that the creditors... is in violation if they do not let you inform you about the sale of a car?
Yes. Well, not necessarily. In Florida, yes. You have to check your own state.
Depends on your state.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. Because after I have spoken before on Thursday call, and Terry, I believe you said that... I demanded debt validation with the creditor, and they did not respond to me until almost a year later. And when they did respond, it came from a lawyer. And I still believe they're in violation because they didn't respond within that 30-day window.
I explained to you before that no 30-day window. 30 days, it doesn't matter when they respond, okay? But when you send one of those letters, they've got two choices. Either give you what you ask for and validate what they're trying to collect, or go away and never contact you again. Because if they contact you again without validating, they are in violation of the FDCPA. That's the purpose of the demand for debt validation.
Correct.
Yeah, I understand. like I said, it was almost a year, 11 months actually, and then they sent the information it doesn't matter. Even though I put on there, I'm asking for a validation within 30 days.
No, you don't have the right to tell them in 30 days. You can say please do it within 30 days, but they don't have to respond to you at all. It's just that if they choose not to respond to you, and then they take some kind of collection action, even like suing you for it, then they're
really
in violation because they didn't validate. So let's say they don't respond to you, and a year later they decide they want to sue you for it, and then they notice in their file, oh, well, she demanded debt validation. If they send you whatever they're calling debt validation before they file suit, they think they've covered their butts. But if what they sent you did not validate the debt, then they're in violation of the FDCPA because they filed a suit against you without validating.
The lawyer sent the validation.
Validate? Okay, the lawyer sent you what he is calling validation, what he says is validation of the debt. But the question is, was it true validation of the debt? If he didn't send you
account... What exactly did they send? What exactly did they send?
They sent... it's got a my name on the... I got my signature on when I first got the car. It's the car.
The sales agreement?
It's an installment sales contract. And then...
Did they send you a complete accounting of all the records of payments and credits and everything?
They have a customer number, customer loan, the dates on here and effective dates, like from when I started on the 2015 until 2020, regular payments, late fees.
An accounting of all the payments and charges made and all that.
That's correct. Okay, and then after that, they sent a redacted form.
What do you mean a redacted form?
Let's put it this way. They have a charge-off date on here. It says 2/28, and this... and then it has a charge-off amount. And late charges on that paper. Maybe it just came out that way. Anyway. So, and then it has on here a plan to sell the property, but I didn't receive a letter stating that they plan to sell the car until this validation came in the mail. I didn't receive it when they... sold the car. I didn't know they sold the car. But it's in the packet that they sent me. And then it said explanation of calculation of surplus or deficiency. So they broke down everything when they sold the car, the outstanding balance when they sold it. The repossession fee, because I didn't I let them come and take it. I never told them to come and get it. I just let them come and repossess the car. And they have on here how much I owe after all that is said and done. And then it has a bill of sale an assignment on here from the company. With different dates. It has a date on here that says May 24th. Okay, so it says for the for value received and in further consideration of the mutual covenant and conditions set forth in the forward flow account purchase agreement. And then in parentheses, agreement date May 24th, 2017, by and between First Investors. That's the original creditor. And then it says the seller and AutoVest LLC, the buyer.
They're a debt buyer.
Seller.
Right. I think we talked about that before, didn't we?
Yeah, yep, we talked about it. That's what I'm just telling you what, you know, what's in the package. That's what I said we spoke of it before. Is this John?
No, this is Dave. John is on the call.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean John, I meant Dave. Dave and Terry, we spoke on Thursday.
Yeah.
And well, that's it. I'm just trying my best not to file bankruptcy if I don't have to, and trying to find a way around not doing that. They sent me, I told you, Discovery. I looked over at Discovery. You said that they can have, you can have, they can be in violation in Discovery also. Because I got
well,
admission
there
in
can be, there can be, but that's getting a lot more technical. That's not basic.
Okay.
So if they're sending you Discovery, they already sued you.
Yeah, right. they did. Yes, they did. It just we haven't went to court yet. And I'm trying get a summary judgment. But do you think I will get one, a summary judgment anyway, if I when I fill out the admission and it's
we don't know what's there. There's no way we could answer that definitively. If they've sent you Discovery and you don't answer it properly, like we said with the admissions, if you like if you don't send an response back and you admit to things, then they can use that for the summary judgment, and basically you're dead in the water. If you admit, you know, to certain things that they ask, oh, did you get a loan? Yeah. Did you fail to pay it? Well, yeah. And I mean, there's ways to deal with that. Like if you looked at the webinars, you'll see how John explains that. But if you don't answer properly, they can use that in their summary judgment, and more than likely they'll be successful.
Yes, but when I went to the webinar, John was explaining how to answer, but he never said, he said be truthful, but he didn't say how I can go work, you know, speak around it or say things around, you know, without saying what I mean, things to bury me, because unless I miss something, you know, during Discovery,
it's pretty much what you do is you object. You object to stuff. So you've responded, but you've responded in the best way you can, which is, you know, an objection, and there has to be a basis to your objection. And I go through that pretty comprehensively in the webinar, where, you know, that like with admissions, you know, that the defendant can neither admit nor deny because the defendant lacks sufficient information to draw a reasonable conclusion based on the information that has been provided by the plaintiff, which means I can't answer because they didn't give me anything, you know, but it's a way, you know, that way, if you do that, then they can't deem the admissions admitted because you responded and said you lack sufficient information because they didn't give you any. And there's different tactics for requests for production and for interrogatories, but they're all along the same lines where, you know, with interrogatories, it can be like, you know, the question's overly broad. It lacks specificity. It requests that the defendant draw a legal conclusion, and you know, there's a bunch of objections you can use, and then they have to come back, and you have to negotiate through each one, and it kills more time and kills more time. In the meantime, if they're doing discovery on you, you need to do discovery on them.
Yeah, that's what they say. Yeah, I can do that. I understand.
Right. I mean, what it comes down to is you just got to fight with everything you can and throw everything you can at them, you know, within the bounds of what is normal legal practice. And we try to cover that in the webinars, but there are no cut and paste answers for anything. You got to look at the question they ask you and come up with the best possible response. It's an objection.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it. All right.
You're very welcome. Okay. We're going to go back to the other lady with the...
Dave, you want to finish with her? I got to get on a phone call. So you guys wrap up at that 10 o'clock. 10:06, actually.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be on the phone at 10.
I don't think I'd be able to be much help on that situation there.
Yeah, but, I don't either. Well, she's got other questions, she said. I think we've already answered foreclosure overage.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the other questions are. So.
Well, ma'am, you've been unmuted again, 650.
It's all right because it's getting late. I know all the gentlemen and Terry has been on the phone for a long time. I can wait until next week of following
well, it's actually
next
month. Yeah, it's next month. It's not next week. We only have these once a month.
Right.
But we're here. We'll try and help you with the questions that you have. If we can, we can. If we can't, we'll maybe try and head you in a direction where you might find the information you need. But we'll go ahead and see if we can help you here.
Okay, thank you. Well, what happened is that the IF-8 foreclosure with Faye, F as Frank, A as Apple, Y, Faye Servicing, LLC. If you don't understand me, please interrupt me.
I'm not understanding what it is you're saying here. I can tell you that right at this point.
She was just trying to tell you the name of the... Who did the foreclosure?
Correct.
Fay, F-A-Y.
F-A-Y?
F as Frank, A as Apple, Y.
Yeah, Fay. LLC?
Yes, Fay. Yes.
Okay. I've never heard
of
them, but that doesn't
Me neither.
And that's interesting. They are very large and they're very powerful. Anyway, they foreclosed my home 8 times. Two times when I have a loan pending without notice, they foreclosed my house. 3 times when I wired my money to reinstate my loan, every time quarter of meaning, more than quarter of meaning, without notice. After they took the money, they foreclosed on me 3 more times again.
Foreclose on you three times?
I don't get it.
I'm lost.
Well,
on that.
Me too, by the way.
What happens is every time you foreclose on me, I immediately file bankruptcy and then get out from yeah, from bankruptcy again. Then I received my loan again. Then they recycled the same technique, foreclosed on me again. So I filed bankruptcy. And then they foreclosed on me again without notice. Never have any notice at all. And then 3 more times, and they say I own them an escrow account. I send them all the property tax insurance I paid since 2018 to 2021 with my bank statement proof all the money withdrawn from my account. I sent to the court, civil court, bank court, BK court, and the free servicing and then the lawyer. And they told the court, they lied to the court, commit the perjury in writing. They say they made the payment. They never provided any evidence. 3 more times they foreclosed on me on escrow account. This time my house is gone. When I filed the bankruptcy, the court granted me REM, R-E-M, as Mary. So they went ahead, took my house. And the civil court judge, and they didn't commit it. They followed the book. They didn't commit any crime. Dismissed my case. Bankruptcy court say I filed too many bankruptcy. So they blocked me in 2018 from file BK for 2 years until this year I filed again, which I send the all the information and documentation of Wild Fund and the public tax paid by me receipt to both of the court. Versus their line, I lost both the case on both the court. So I just want the people to know what's going on these days.
Well, I just don't know.
I'm kind of lost.
Have a real good understanding. Yeah, I just don't have a good understanding of the situation.
It's too much. It's too much.
Yeah.
John, do you have any clue?
I'm sorry?
I don't. I've been trying to get it.
Me too, brother. I promise you.
I'm
trying real, real hard. Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a lot going on.
You have a lot going on, man. A lot.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a lot because of the, I cannot find that lawyer at all. And sometimes they just told me it's too complicated for them to handle.
Right.
Yeah. Because
yeah, and oddly enough, I looked at Faye Servicing, and they're right here in Dallas. They're probably only they're only about 6 or 7 miles from me. They're in Farmers Branch.
Oh, God.
Jeez. Oh, my God. Wow. Well
yeah.
Worked. Now you know them.
Yeah,
wow.
1601 Lind LBJ Freeway, Farmers Branch, Texas.
That's
yeah.
Correct. That's the address.
Yep.
Yep. You are
crazy.
Okay,
boy, I wish I could be more help to you, but you've got such a real tangled mess there that I just don't have a real good grip on it where I'd be able to help you with anything.
Understand. It's getting late. I better let you go, and I thank you for your effort.
So, yeah, get on the call Thursday night with Terry.
Okay. Will do. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank
Thursday
you very
night.
Much.
Thank you. Have a nice evening.
Oh.
And don't drink
too
much.
You
too.
She's a sweetheart, isn't she? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Don't get drunk, okay? You need to drive.
I wish. Trust me, I wish. No.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night. Oh, man. Boy,
all right, boys,
you.
I got to get running. I have to roll.
Yep. You're working late tonight, huh?
Yeah, I got a conference call. I was supposed to be on 15 minutes ago. He keeps calling me, so we got to get this done.
Yeah, I just made a couple of calls.
Oh, well.
Do what you got to do, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up here, everybody. I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight. And we are going
great.
To have – yeah, what's the date on our next call? That's going to be
– let me see. I got it all calendars.
September.
Probably
on the 14th. Probably on the 14th.
Yes, sir. 14th of September, 12th of October, and 16th of November.
Okay.
And then
all
December,
right.
We haven't decided, probably the 14th again of December, I would say.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we're going to be doing. We got a webinar tomorrow. Who's doing the webinar?
Oh, sorry. That I don't know. I don't know. Is Terry, John, or you? Who's
I don't, I don't
no.
know. Litigation
I don't have...
climate? Yeah. I think that's me.
No, that wouldn't be mine.
What?
I said that wouldn't be me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, we'll be talking about that tomorrow because the litigation climate has changed and people
oh, gosh.
Need to be a little more careful about what they're doing. So anyway, 3 o'clock Eastern tomorrow, 2 o'clock Central. We'll be doing that, and then our next call will be in on September 14th. And don't forget Terry's call that's on Thursday nights. She has that. If you're not getting the information from her as far as what she sends out or because you're not on her email list and don't have the call information for her call, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. And just say, please put me on the list, and she'll get you on there, get you fixed up so you're ready to go. But, again, we want to thank everybody that joined us tonight. I hope everybody has a great week. We'll talk to the people that tune in tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock about our litigation climate. We'll have a little bit of discussion about that. And then we'll do Thursday, and then we'll do a weekend. So everybody have a great evening.
Good.
Jesse,
God bless everybody.
Do you have anything
you
want
again.
To add?
No, just thank all the moderators as usual, guys. Can't do it without you, brother. So God bless
all righty,
everybody. Have a great freaking week, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Take care.
You got her.
All right,
good
guys.
Night, everybody.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks, David. Appreciate you.
You bet.
Okay, bye.